Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 324 of Geek Town Radio. We're back for the last regular show of the year, and because of that I wanted to have somebody that was slightly different and hasn't been on for a while on the show. So this week we have...
It's nice to see that it hasn't been long enough for you to forget to use that sound effect.
Of course not.
At least it wasn't the sonic drowning noise, I'll give you that.
No, it wasn't. It's lovely to have you on after, I have not even looked how long, but it's...
an embarrassingly long amount of time, to the point where most viewers are going, who the hell is this person? How did they get here?
Yes, quite possibly, because you'd be buried under... streams and charity stuff and hosting things on stages, and yes, you've just become too popular for me.
I appreciate you lying and pretending it's because I'm popular and not just because I make a lot of work for myself.
Well, there is that too. So yeah, what have you been up to in the last months, years, decades?
Weeks, months, years. It's kind of like Eeyore, but with a pandemic involved. So I have been focused a lot on Twitch recently. I do a lot of charity stuff in the run up to Christmas. So I work directly with the Samaritans. I did a big streamathon, got a bunch of incredible people together. I was so honored that they wanted to get involved, and we did a load of stuff for Samaritans in the summer. And now I'm doing my regular stuff over Christmas again. So we put up a Christmas tree, which I've already knocked over.
Of course,
yes. And I did a painting yesterday. It's called Trista Ross, The Joy of Painting Badly.
I saw some of that. Yes. Hilariously funny. The hair suits you though. So, you know.
Yeah, and the beard. I think so. It had to be purple. It had to be purple. I made that beard. That's the thing. I bought two wigs and I made that beard. That's lovingly stitched with Christmas baubles stuck into it. That took seriously more time than it really should have, or looks like it did. So yeah, we did that painting yesterday with Sonic the Cake Hog, my best ever cake creation that seems to have now just become a meme that's been retweeted by Sega. It was also shared on the r/cursed foods thread on Reddit.
Really?
And was removed as not being cursed. Which I take as massive validation that my cake decorating skills aren't that bad, even if I did use a fire extinguisher to roll out the icing. But that's not the point. That's not the point at all. It just added to why it was inedible. It was not the main reason it was inedible.
Right.
But yeah, we did painting yesterday, and that's the raffle prize that I am giving away for Samaritans. Although I suspect with my painting skills and the fact Mr. Blobby's on the painting, amongst other things, due to viewer requests, it's probably putting people off from donating rather than encouraging them.
Quite possibly. Yes.
Anything nevertheless, we've hit 3K already, so it's
excellent.
You know,
well
they're
done.
They're just making sure they donate just under the amount that gets them a raffle ticket, I think.
Yes, anything with Mr. Blobby on. But, you know, it is a Trista original, so, you know.
Yeah, which also detracts from its value. See, the piece we painted over, which was snowman in a snowstorm surrounded by stormtroopers in snow outfits with lots of white cats, that piece that we painted over was worth significantly more than what I've created, to be honest.
Yeah, arguably I probably would have preferred to have had that. But, you know, you're doing it for charity, so...
I've devalued a blank canvas is basically what we're getting at here.
Awesome. So what else have you been getting up to?
I've been playing through Tomb Raider, the original series, and yes. I'm loving it. We call it Tomb Failure because I like to set expectations correctly. Mm-hmm. We've been through the whole of the first game now, finding every secret, just full completionist. If I miss something, I'll backtrack the entire level to go find it.
Wow.
Playing it on tank controls on the keyboard. Oh my goodness. Space is not jump needs to be a t-shirt. The amount of times I run at an enemy and then just really, really, it's such a like confident way. Press spacebar, put the guns away, and then I'm eaten. As I just run headlong towards a giant crocodile, just go, yeah, giant crocodile, and then just disarm myself and die horribly. Space is not jump is definitely becoming an issue, but I'm really enjoying them, and I've been pleasantly surprised by how well they have aged. Yes, the controls are incredibly clunky, but
yeah.
As they are as much a puzzle platformer as anything else, action puzzle platformer effectively, as those original games were, it still works really well. Some of the glitches are hilarious. I got my head stuck in a sphinx at one point.
Well, of course.
The reload. Yeah, yeah. The joy of having lots of save points was handy there because yes. We were well and truly stuck. I could see what was on the inside though, so I knew what area we needed to go to next, but was somewhat decapitated. But I have been really enjoying how fun those games still are, how silly and ridiculous they are as well.
Yeah.
I remember taking them quite seriously as a kid when they came out back in 96. I played them on PlayStation originally.
Yeah.
And I remember taking them quite seriously. And then years later when the first Angelina Jolie movie came out, I went, well, they've made it all stupid. And now I'm playing the games and I'm like, oh, look, a random dinosaur. Oh, look, a monster. The walls are made of flesh. What the hell is that? And I'm like, wow, the movie was more serious than the games. How had I forgotten how preposterous, ridiculous and wonderfully daft these games are?
Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, they've remade the games, haven't they? Or sort of done...
They've rebooted the games.
Yeah,
they're not the same.
No, they're nowhere near as silly as the originals were. No,
they're a completely different type of game now. They have made a modern incarnation of that character.
It's
effectively starting from scratch. They're beautiful games, the new ones, but they aren't platform puzzlers.
No, they don't. Well, I mean, they sort of are, but there's a lot more kind of straight third-person shootery stuff in those. There are puzzles in them, and there are
some
sort
puzzles,
of platformers.
It's effectively an open-world RPG character driven. There's no story in the original. You get to the end, there's a cutscene, and you go, wait, who's that lass? Oh,
yeah.
She's got wings. Oh, there's a monster. I guess I'll shoot that then.
Right.
There's no reason why there's dinosaurs in the original. None at all.
Yeah.
You know, they just are. Just because. And that's sort of effectively the reasoning behind everything. Just because they are a game which is so between the old and new type of games, because it's polygon based, it's that kind of newer 32-bit thing. But it still was obviously developed by people who were making games before then, back when the reason for everything in games was, well, just because you are an egg and there's a T-Rex.
Yes.
What's the question? What's the plot? Oh, your girlfriend's been kidnapped.
Yeah.
You know, that's it's really that kind of thinking. And the new ones are like fully thought out stories, and you have to go and level things up and make a camp to sleep in. And I'm like, Lara Croft doesn't sleep. She rides a motorbike she got from nowhere over the top of a volcano, parks it somewhere we don't see, and then fights a dinosaur. And then gets on the bike at the end and goes off an exploding island, you know?
Yeah, no, I guess I'm kind of in the same position as you. It's been a long time since I played those original games. I hadn't quite remembered quite how silly they were.
Do it.
I did go back and try at one point, but the controls are so horrifically clunky.
They're kind of part of the fun, though, because they are clunky, and the camera is definitely the antagonist of the game. The actual antagonist.
Yeah, right, yes.
Like Tony Hawk's man on a skateboard with Uzis in an underground mine, you know, these kind of enemies. They're not your real enemies. They're more just fashion victims and then victims of Lara. But the real enemy is definitely the camera. But the fact that everything is step jump or jump back one block and then jump, it is very much like an old school kind of platformer in that regards. It's much more Super Mario than it is anything else.
I see what you mean with that. I'm not sure I have the patience to go back and play them at this point, but maybe I will go and take a look sometime.
Just save after every jump.
Yeah.
Play it on PC. Just save after every jump. Then every time you press the wrong button or you're eaten by a giant crocodile, or six as one part in the Tomb Raider Gold unfinished business levels has, six giant crocodiles. Like, that's just unnecessary.
Yes.
Just done. I don't even know. I mean, they must have been stacked on top of each other in the spawn area, you know, like round the corner where they appear from nowhere.
Funny.
And you just have to save a lot, basically, yeah. And just take every jump as an opportunity to discover whether or not that's lava or just a misshapen rock because you can't quite tell.
Yes. It does sound like it's a game that would make for a very entertaining stream, particularly knowing how utterly clumsy you are as well of just generally falling off things. So these Lara games seems like the perfect opportunity for you to be able to like just randomly fall into things. So
yeah, I mean, they do take bets on how many times I'm going to die, like on each jump. Like, it's not even each level. It's just like, on this jump, how many attempts is it going to take? And then there's just some really fun random stuff to do in the games as well. Because if you're being kind of a bit completist, like I've been, and going, I want to find all the secrets, which sometimes includes reloading stuff because of timed secrets.
Right.
I just, like, at one point, I got to the top of a level and I just went, I want to go up there. And we just spent an hour finding a way to get right up to the top of this random bit. I wanted to see if I could jump out the level and go full GTA style.
Right.
And I got right up to the top of this bit and I was so proud of myself for getting up to the top of the level. And then there was a bit of ammo up there and I was like, justified. You were supposed to get up here. I haven't been wasting our time. We've now got some shotgun ammo. Not that I use the shotgun anyway, but that's not the point. It's a moral victory.
Awesome. So that's some of the stuff you've been doing on the streams. Have, in the last 6 months, you caught any TV at all? I know you've been struggling.
Oh my goodness. I am so behind on so much television. It is embarrassing, which is why I warned you of that before you invited me on.
Yes.
I've seen the Loki series, obviously.
Obviously.
That happened.
Yes.
Obviously. I've also been re-watching the Marvel movies in the background because
right.
I've seen those before and been pleasantly surprised by how many of them have aged really well.
Yeah.
That's been pretty cool. I'm up to the Avengers being on in the background. That one's slightly more distracting for me, obviously. watching
I
it. I tend to look over whenever there's like a good meme moment. It's kind of like, oh, we're coming up to the bit where Hulk punches Thor in the face. We're coming up to the bit where Loki gets grabbed by the foot after making a big empower kind of speech about how he can't be defeated and is a god and gets stuffed across the screen, you know, and
yeah.
Been sort of looking up and yeah, that film's aged really well. The dialogue and the back and forth between all the characters still works really well, although I feel immensely more and more sorry for Hawkeye because just nobody cares. I felt like he was done dirty, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to rectify that with the current Hawkeye series, which has been great, actually. The new Hawkeye series I've really, really been enjoying, and it's kind of got a Die Hard vibe to it because it's got that sort of action Christmassy thing going on. So there's that sort of feel to it. And, you know, it's basically all he's trying to do is get out of the city and get back home to his family in time for Christmas. That's basically the setup for it. And then there was a whole bunch of things that start to get in the way of him doing that. But they're tied back to sort of other events that have happened throughout the MCU. So trying to be sort of vague without giving too much away. They have done a really good job with that. And it's really fun and it's really funny. Hayley Steinfeld, who plays the new addition, Kate Bishop, who sort of becomes the kind of sidekick to Clint, is superb in this. Really, really good.
Yeah, I want to check it out. I just felt like rewatching the Marvel movies, they needed to do something like this for him sooner because they introduce Black Widow before Avengers.
Yeah.
And she gets like a good, strong introduction. She gets effectively two introductions because I always thought of her introduction as the interrogation, but not interrogation scene in Avengers. But of course, she had a full introduction before that. She was in the film before. And I always thought that's the wrong way around. We could have had Black Widow introduced in Avengers. Because her character is incredibly strong, incredibly cliche as well, being that, oh, you are the trained from birth, beautiful Russian spy femme fatale. It's a cliche. We know it. We get it very quick. That very, very well done interrogation scene with the mobile phone. What? I'm working here. These guys are going to give me everything, you know?
Yeah.
That scene is such a strong introduction. She effectively got two strong introductions there, even though her character was quite easy to understand and very distinct. And then Hawkeye, it's just kind of like turns up in the Avengers and it's like, are immediately controlled by the bad guy and just has no lines practically for half the movie.
Yeah.
After a sort of fairly weak introduction of he's just up there with some bows and arrows, which is a fairly difficult sell anyway. And I'm like, we got to the point where somebody unarmed in the Avengers is not the one that sticks out as the sore thumb who's underpowered. It's the guy with the bow and arrows, because they didn't give him any kind of backstory, character development. And he's a much more difficult character to sell because he doesn't fit into the, oh, you're a god, you're a giant robot, you're a giant monster. There's no obvious thing there.
Yeah.
Really needed to introduce that character in a film before, or give them a TV series before or something. And I was just watching it going, wow, they really didn't give you a chance, mate. So I'm glad the TV show is finally fleshing that character out. What we need next is for Kobe Smulders to come back, because I just expected, you know?
Yes, she is in the Secret Wars series, I think. Mm. So she is going to be coming back as well.
I expected her to be one of the lead characters in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes,
when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was announced, I just assumed the proven TV celebrity that they had, who was known for doing long-running series, would be in their long-running series.
You would think,
because she was prominent in Avengers, and she's good. You know, she proved she can be an A-list movie star in that film. She looked completely not out of place, held her own up there, surrounded by these incredible famous movie stars, which is a difficult jump to make, TV to film, and she did it. And then I was like, oh, of course they're making a TV series. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. That makes sense. It will be her. She'll be one of the lead characters. And then she wasn't in it. And I was like, wait, what? And yeah, then she's just kind of been mostly absent ever since. So yeah, it'd be good to see what they do with her in Secret Wars, because I felt like that was a really missed opportunity as well, because her character was really interesting.
Yeah, I would like to see more of that. And I mean, of course, with the way that they're doing the Marvel TV shows, it is going to be interesting to see where they kind of go moving forward. Because I mean, we're now getting a bunch of new heroes being introduced, or new kind of super characters being introduced through the TV shows rather than through the films. I mean, we have got some introduced in the movies as well, but we are getting these people introduced through the TV shows, like Miss Marvel and She-Hulk, and the rumours are Daredevil is back, and I don't know whether Charlie shows up in the Spider-Man movie, because I haven't seen the Spider-Man movie yet. I'm assuming you haven't seen the Spider-Man movie yet.
I haven't seen it yet. La la la, fingers in ears, no spoilers, etc. Yeah. The world right there. No, everyone's saying it's amazing. I've seen no mention of that, but I have been trying to avoid all mentions of it, so.
Yes, I've been doing exactly the same. I haven't had a chance to go out and see it yet, because I haven't been doing the show for the last couple of weeks. I've been away, and I got back on like Thursday, and it came out whilst I was coming back from my holiday. So yeah, I haven't had a chance to go out and watch it yet. I will hopefully over the next couple of weeks actually go out and see it, unless they release it, give it an early home release.
I'm waiting on home releases for things, for obvious reasons. So I'm waiting on that, because I do want to see it. It looks so good. Just when they started releasing images, and I was just like, oh my god, Iron Spider, oh my god, they're bringing all the suits. I was like, I need to see this.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. It really does. Matt has been to see it, and Matt says it was absolutely superb. So he reckoned it's not only one of the best movies of the year, it's one of the best Spider-Man movies they've released out of all of them, including the original Sam Raimi ones. So I definitely want to see that. But I just say, like you, I'm avoiding spoilers for it right now. So anything else you've been up to?
I have been slowly rewatching The Expanse, because I am so far behind on that. It
right.
makes me cry, because it's one of my favorite series. So I have been slowly rewatching it. I suspect you are watching like several seasons ahead of me at the moment.
Yes, because the sixth season has just come out. I think, what, they're two episodes into that. It's ending with the sixth season as well, which is odd, because there are a bunch more books after this, but they've decided they're stopping it in the sixth season. And it was a decision. It's not like a cancellation. It was a decision that they were going to end it at that point. Whether they're cramming...
I mean, that's better than it getting cancelled, I guess.
Yeah. So presumably they've decided maybe there is a particular arc in the book that they decided it was reasonable to end it at. I don't know.
Or they're going to do their own alternate ending, maybe, to kind of wrap everything up.
That may be the case. I'm not sure. Or they're going to try and compress like 5 books into one series, which I hope that isn't the case. But I mean, I've not read the book, so I don't know. But the 6th season opening 2 episodes is as solid writing as it has been throughout the entire thing. It's been superb. I don't know whether it's a good adaptation because I've not read the books, but I mean, as a TV series, it's been brilliant. Proper hardcore sci-fi stuff, which is what you want.
Yeah, because I've been sort of rewatching again. I can only watch things I can put on in the background because I'm so busy at the moment. But as I've been rewatching it, one of the things I kind of realized that I hadn't quite spotted the first time round is that obviously The Expanse covers a lot of things which are quite dark, going in a little bit of the, it's got a little bit of that kind of cyberpunk attitudes in it. It's sort of between space opera and cyberpunk. It's not so heavy on the people having robot arms stuff that people think is sort of just cyberpunk, but it's got a lot of the cliches of it. I mean, there's a guy who's a policeman trying to solve a crime wearing a hat. I mean, you know, it's in a futuristic setting. That's a very staple part of cyberpunk stories. And it's got a lot of those elements mixed in together. But one of the things it seems to be, for the most part, pretty positive about is relationships. Mm-hmm. And I kind of hadn't clocked that the first time, that you've got these underhanded governments and, you know, the worst of humanity exploiting or experimenting on each other and all of these things happening. But at the same time, a lot of the characters are in kind of healthy romantic relationships. And I was like, that's an interesting kind of counterpoint, especially in these early seasons.
Yeah.
When you're seeing the worst of humanity on one side and moving towards all of that very cyberpunky evolution and what will humans become and technology and these kind of things. But yeah, then you've got the main political figure. She's in a very healthy relationship with her husband, the relationship going on between the main cast on the ship, that's pretty open and healthy. Amos and her relationship as a kind of brother-sister protector relationship, that's again pretty beneficial to both of them. And I was like, there's definitely some heart that's been snuck in here. And it's been so long since I read any of the books. I can't remember if that's the same as the books or not, if that's something that's carried over or if that was put in as a counterpoint for things. But yeah, there is a slightly romantic kind of angle to it. And it kind of hit me when the characters were saying, oh, we need to sell this as a love story. There was an Earther who was part of the freedom fighters for the Belters who fell in love with, you know, someone who was from somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's a uniting story. And I was just like, do you know what? Yeah, there is totally a love story running through this that I hadn't thought originally.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of nice. It's kind of sweet to see that they're showing that human relationships can still be good, even in times where things are very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing which you really do need to watch at some point, I mean, I know you're struggling at the moment, but Foundation on Apple TV Plus
I don't have access to the service at the moment. It will be when one of my subscriptions runs out, I will get that just to watch Foundation. Foundation is it's a classic book series, and I really want to see how it gets adapted.
I don't know the book series particularly, but I've told that it's being adapted fairly well. Certainly, it is one of those things you do need to focus on. It is something that you do need to have time to sit and actually watch. You can't sort of do it in the background. It is something you do need to focus on. I thought that was a phenomenal show.
It's a little bit like, I don't know, not quite as much so as Dune, but like Dune, it's a thing you have to pay. Oh, I saw Dune. Oh, there's a thing I've seen that's modern.
Oh,
yes. I saw Dune in the cinema.
Oh, wow.
Left my house the once.
So how is that? Because that I haven't seen yet either.
It's pretty good. I know some people are a little bit underwhelmed by parts of it because the pacing and things it's not completely Hollywood movie style. Oh my God, there's a giant climax at the end type thing. It is the start of a story.
Yeah.
I think that it's a lot more faithful adaptation than some of the previous adaptations we've seen, certainly big screen. And it does a good job, I think, of balancing things from the book. Again, I haven't read the book in a phenomenal amount of time, but I've spoken to a few other friends who've read it more recently. And it does seem to me to do a good balancing act of that. They make a few of the characters who were just kind of a bit flat in the book a bit more interesting by simply just being like, hey, let's just make them Aquaman. It worked for Aquaman. We'll just make this Jason Momoa. That just fixes this character. And it worked for Aquaman, and it absolutely works for Dune. You're just suddenly a character that you were never that fussed by in the book. You're just like, hey, it's Jason Momoa. I now care.
Yes.
And that, I thought, worked. When I heard the casting, I was a bit like, oh, really? And then I was like, oh, no, just, it's just likable now. He's just likable. He just walks in the room and you like him.
Yes.
There. I can see what they did there. That works. They did quite a good job with things. I enjoyed the movie. It's very pretty. And it was one of the ones where I was like, right, I will go and watch it at an obscure time early in the day. The cinema was practically empty. And I thought I needed to see that on a big screen because of there's all the rolling sand dunes and you know, the scenery and the atmosphere is so important to it. So yeah, I did actually leave the house.
Yes. Well, I mean, that is interesting. That I mean, it's one of those things that you've got a character that nobody cares about, make Jason Momoa the star of it. Yes.
It works. They side-eyed over at DC and went, yeah, that's a good trick, that is.
Yeah.
That's going to be Jason Momoa's like job from now on.
Yes.
That's what's going to happen. If we'd been making the Marvel movies now, Hawkeye would be Jason Momoa.
Yes.
Which is no fault of the actor. It's just they gave him a bad lack of lines in his introductory movie.
Yes.
And that's how you would have fixed that problem. If you don't want to bother kind of like, you know, making a character have enough depth on their own, you just make him Jason Momoa.
Yes, absolutely.
Sorted.
That's the way to do it. In terms of other stuff that's been around this week that I've been watching, The Witcher came back. You saw the first season of this, didn't you, I think?
Yes, I binge-watched the entire first season.
Yes.
And I am desperately trying to find time to watch the new one.
It's only 8 episodes, the second season. And, I mean, it's great again. They've sorted out a lot of the problems that the first season had in terms of the timey-wiminess that the first season...
They failing to just put so-and-so's story, so-and-so's story in text on the screen because none of the characters age.
Hilariously, there is a meta joke actually in the show when Yaskia meets one of the character, and Yaskia is obviously the person that sings about sort of the songs and all the adventures and stuff, and he's having this conversation with another character who's talking about one of his latest songs, which is obviously all about the events of season one, and he makes some remark about the fact that, oh yeah, it was a bit confusing at places, that song. I didn't get that, like, it was all different timelines and stuff.
self-awareness. Points to them.
It was just brilliant. Yeah, there's just this tiny little conversation between him sort of like criticizing the song and just
fix it. They could just add a little bit of text. They could add it. It's on a streaming service. You could just add that bit of text says, you could fix series one. All it needs is like two words added whenever they swap timeline.
Yes, exactly. But the second season, they're doing a great job with as well. It is much more of a straightforward like story. There's no jumping around in time this time around. And it's a continuation of where season one ends. I'm sort of halfway through the 7th episode, and there's only 8 episodes in the second season. And I kind of get the feeling that it's going to feel like a mid-season finale when you get to the end of this season. Because I mean, they knew when they were going into the second season that it was likely to come back for a third. So I suspect that the second season is probably going to end on some sort of cliffhanger, because I can't see how they're going to resolve everything by the end of the second season. So I think it possibly is going to feel a bit more like a mid-season finale, but wait and see when I get there. I have been enjoying it, and I've binged through it in 2 nights so far, so I've just got like an episode and a half left to go, but it's been brilliant once again. It's one of those things. Yaskia is still my favourite character in that. He's just hilarious and really entertaining and fun, so I've been very much enjoying that.
There's just 2 types of people that watch The Witcher. Types where that's their favourite character, and types where they press mute when that character comes on. That's it.
Yeah, very true. I think he's brilliant and very funny in this one as well, and Henry Cavill's perfectly cast in it, and it's great, that show. I'm really, really enjoying that. The Expanse, as I say, a couple of episodes in, been enjoying that. Star Trek Discovery has sort of come back since we've been off, really, and that's been good for the full season. If you can go and find it, because it is no longer on Netflix, it's going out on CBS Viacom streaming service, which is called Pluto TV, but you have to go and watch it live on there, or you can go on to places like Amazon and Google and go and buy it for the full
Pluto
season.
Pluto TV. Is this because no one can decide if it's a streaming service or not?
Well, it's sort of streaming live TV. So yeah. Pluto.tv, if you go to that, it is basically streaming, but it's streaming live channels. So you have to go and be there at 9 o'clock on, I think they run it Friday, Saturday, Sunday at 9 p.m. But you have to be sat there at 9 p.m. on Friday, Saturday or Sunday to actually sit and watch it for free on there. So there isn't like a catch-up thing. But if you want to be able to watch it at your own leisure, you can go and spend like, I think it's £16 or something for the whole season. You can go and buy it off Google Play or Amazon. That's what I did, because there's just no way I'm going to be able to dedicate myself to being there at a particular time to watch it. Eventually, it will come onto Paramount Plus when Paramount Plus launches in the UK, but it hasn't yet, and it's going to launch at some point next year, hopefully early next year, but we don't know exactly. But it will come onto Paramount Plus UK along with a bunch of other things as well when that launches. So there's that. Superman and Lois, I watched the whole of that. That is streaming on BBC iPlayer over here, so, and it's going out on BBC One as well. It's a weird pickup, I still think, for BBC One, that Superman and Lois series, but I'm glad that they have got it and it's been really quite good. It's very, very different to a lot of the other Arrowverse things. It feels like it's more high, it's a higher quality. It feels more in that sort of next gen version of the Arrowverse stuff, the Berlanti stuff. So it's more in the vein of like Stargirl, which is sort of got higher production values. It feels like it's sort of that next gen version of it. And I really enjoyed the first season of that, and there is obviously a second season of that coming, so that's something else you can go and catch up with, because that's for free on iPlayer. And whilst I was away, I caught the 5-episode crossover, not crossover, of the opening of the next season of The Flash as well, which was called Armageddon, because I was in the US, so I managed to get access to it over there. That actually was pretty strong, I thought. I don't want to go into kind of spoilers of anything that actually happens in that, but I thought that was reasonably strong as a sort of opening. It's the most entertained I've been by The Flash in a very long time, because if you've listened to any of the previous shows, me and Matt have been bashing The Flash for quite a while, just because the quality has gone horrifically downhill. But I actually thought that was a pretty strong start to the season, so we'll see where it goes from there. We should be at some point, probably I reckon around February, maybe March, when that comes back on Sky Max over here, so we're still waiting for that. But the opening few episodes I thought were pretty good. Ghosts, I finally watched the first season of that, which I know I'm horrifically behind by. That's on iPlayer. In fact, all the seasons of Ghosts are on iPlayer, but I was on a plane and I had some time to kill and it was on the plane list of stuff, and I thought, oh, I've not watched that. So I watched the first season of Ghosts. Utterly hilarious. Have you caught any of this by any chance?
I don't even know what it is. This is how out of touch I am right now.
It's a sitcom. It's one of those things that some people have seen it and are like completely obsessed by it. It also seems to have really flown under the radar as well. It's really strange. It's from the team behind Horrible Histories. And the people that did Yonderland. Remember that Sky series with the puppets?
Yeah.
It's the same team that were behind that. So, and it's most of basically the same cast with a few other people involved as well. Matthew Benson, Simon Fangyard, Martha Howe Douglas, Jim Howick, Lawrence Rickard, Ben Wilbon. So they're well known for creating these slightly sort of odd things. It's basically this couple that inherit this old crumbling house after a sort of distant relative dies. They move in with the intention of sort of thinking, well, we could do it up and maybe turn it into a hotel. But it turns out that the house is got a bunch of very dysfunctional ghosts that live in it. And the Horrible Histories team are the people that are basically playing the ghosts, pretty much. It's just them full of silly, fun, stupid jokes. and usual sitcom-y kind of goodness. It's just, there are three seasons of it right now, which are up on iPlayer. I've watched the whole of the first season. Really, really, really enjoyed it. And I loved Yonderland. Horrible Histories is fantastic. I just thought it's really fun. If you're looking for something that you can kind of half watch in the background, this actually, I think, will be something you quite enjoy. And if you're looking for something to cheer you up, definitely something to go and watch. They actually made an American version of it as well, which seems to be going down extremely well, which goes out on CBS, but the British version is out on BBC iPlayer. I'd be interested to see the American version just to see what they did with it and how different it is. Certainly one I think you probably quite enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you said the Horrible Histories team wrote it, my ears are kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Did you ever see Yonderland?
I've seen bits of Yonderland, but I haven't seen the whole thing. But again, it's just, they're just really good, solid comedy writers.
Yeah, they are. They've got another thing coming. A couple of the guys, I think it's Lawrence and Matthew, are writing a kind of alien TV show for UK TV. I think it's going on Dave, based around another comedy about sort of aliens landing on Earth, I think. That team behind Horrible Histories, if any of those names pop up somewhere, it's one that always makes my ears stick up, because you know you're going to get something good out of them. They always have really quite interesting ideas. It's a bit like if you see A League of Gentlemen attached to something. They're in that sort of same vein of, oh, you know you're going to get something kind of interesting off these people. So they're very much that sort of group. That's Ghosts. But yes, I've watched the first season of it. I'm going to try and watch through the rest of it as well, because there are some Christmas specials and stuff in there as well. And the other thing, movie-wise, I managed to watch was Free Guy. Have you seen this yet?
I have seen Free Guy.
Yes, I kind of got the feeling it was sort of Lego Movie meets Ready Player One. Do you think that's a fair kind of...
With less story than either of them.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, exactly. I really, really enjoyed it. Because it's Ryan Reynolds, who makes anything eminently watchable.
It is just a Ryan Reynolds vehicle, and that's not necessarily to its detriment. I enjoyed it. I can't say it's going to be one I would sort of rewatch endlessly. I'd say it's if you want to put something on while you're also chatting to your mates at a party, that kind of thing.
I think that's probably fair. If you haven't seen it, it's basically set in a MMORPG, and Ryan Reynolds plays an NPC in that game, except obviously doesn't realise that he's an NPC in that game, and sort of becomes sentient and self-aware as it sort of goes through it. And he starts sort of breaking out of his usual loop of what he is supposed to be doing. And
Becomes a game glitch and famous effectively because of it.
Yeah.
And it's good fun, lots of references, lots of silliness. I sort of felt nearer the end, they were just like, we just want a happy ending. Let's just wrap this up.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And Ryan Reynolds in the lead. It's got Jodie Comer in there. Takeda Waititi is in there as the CEO of the company that's like owns the game as well. So it's wonderfully fun. It's slightly sort of silly and over the top. It's very silly and over the top, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good fun. So definitely want to go and seek out that. I think that's on Disney Plus. If it's not on Disney Plus at the moment, it's supposed to be coming, I think, because it is a 20th Century Studios distributed film. So,
and it's weird as a streamer because it has some 2-second cameos and things on screens and things, which include a bunch of people who I've seen on Twitch.
Really?
So anytime you had somebody come up who was like a streamer or was referencing playing the game, those are actual streamers.
Oh, really?
Like very, very famous ones. So that was kind of an interesting fourth wall-y breaking thing where I was like, hey, oh my goodness, all these people on these news reports in the background are actual Twitch streamers pretending to play this fictional game inside the world of this movie.
Yeah, there are a few voice cameos apparently in there as well, like Hugh Jackman and Tina Fey and Dwayne Johnson, and there are a bunch of other like cameos that pop up, yeah, as well as all the Twitch streamers. So yeah, it's very funny.
And I think they did really well in the way they made it feel like a game as well.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, you could tell that people who liked gaming made it but wanted it to be accessible and fun even if you didn't play games.
Yeah.
It makes sense, I think, or sense at least within context as to what's going on, even if you're not hugely into games. So if you want a fun movie you can watch with sort of younger relatives or people who in the family who don't play games, there's enough just standard comedy and self-explanatory things in there that I think it would make sense. Like, you mean you saw all those Twitch streamers and you didn't know they were Twitch streamers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It didn't detract from the film in any way. So I think they did a really good balancing act with it there.
Definitely. I really enjoyed that. And certainly, I think he's worth to go watch over Christmas if you haven't seen it yet. It's really fun. I think it's coming onto Disney Plus, or is on Disney Plus if you've not caught it yet. And that's Free Guy. So that's all the stuff we've been up to over the last few weeks. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. There's been a number of cancellations and renewals over the last couple of weeks, so we'll just quickly run through them. Cancellations: Julie and the Phantoms cancelled by Netflix after one season, which is a show that completely bypassed me, so I'm no surprise that it's got cancelled because I don't think I even remember hearing of it. Diary of a Future President apparently cancelled after two seasons on Disney+. AP Bio cancelled after four seasons by Peacock, and Cowboy Bebop cancelled after one season by Netflix, which seems to have been a very expensive mistake.
Yeah, they've not learnt with the making live action animes, have they?
No, doesn't really seem to have done at all. I didn't see it, but
hardcore kind of fans that really liked it who are very upset it's been cancelled after one season. But the problem with something like taking some of the most iconic anime series ever and funding a live action of them, which is a really risky move, is that a lot of people hate your series before you've even made it. Really is not an easy thing to do. If they want to start making these live action animes, which are hugely expensive to do, you probably have to start with a lesser loved series to prove you can do it.
Yes, I get it. I get the point of going, I know, we'll take something that's really popular and make a live action version. I sort of get why you would think that, but I also entirely understand your point of prove the concept with something that is less beloved first and try and make that
possible to do, because we've had some live action adaptations based on manga or anime or that also have anime adaptions, even if the live action isn't a direct thing, and you watch them and things like Alice in Borderlands, I watched that and then afterwards someone said, oh yeah, it's based on a manga, it's already had an anime, and I went, oh really? And I completely watched and loved that series, and now I kind of want to go check out the other stuff that I didn't know existed before. If you start with something that's so ridiculously beloved as Cowboy Bebop,
yeah,
to do this kind of thing, you're giving yourself such a massive uphill battle to get people to even want to try it. You're much better off adapting stuff that's smaller but got potential and maybe a bit less expensive than a giant space western.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix as a whole has done a certain amount of that in that they did things like Warrior Nun, for example, which is a lesser known comic book. American comic, but it was a sort of anime manga adjacent thing. And in terms of just general comic books, they did Sweet Tooth as well, which was a lesser known comic book. So Netflix as a whole has done that, but I think they needed to take something which was full blown manga anime and try and do that first, maybe. And I mean, because Umbrella Academy, of course, also a lesser known comic book, but they're more westernized stuff than the manga things, and maybe they should have
taken... I think the fans of some of the American comic books who aren't keen on the live action adaptations will just not watch them. Mm-hmm. Fans of Cowboy Bebop will defend it vehemently because it is such a huge, beloved series. You need something shorter to adapt as well, I think, to start with. They keep trying to make things like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, another epically long, complicated, nuanced thing that didn't need a remake. And again, incredibly expensive to make. And trying to make things like that doesn't usually work very well. After the particular interesting adaptation of a certain book about death, you're really fighting an uphill battle with these. And make something shorter, make something slightly less well known, where people won't have potentially such a strong opinion against its even getting made.
I think that's probably correct. So that appears to have been quite an expensive mistake. I mean, we don't know exactly how much they spent on it because they don't release those sort of numbers. But I mean, I think there was a rumor floating around that it was possibly like 7 million an episode or something.
You know? I would assume you could swim around and drown in the amount of money Scrooge McDuck style. Requested to make that series.
Quite probably. So that won't be coming back. That's cancelled after one season. In terms of the renewals, We're Here has been renewed for a third season at HBO. That airs on Sky Max over on in the UK. American Dad has been renewed for season 18 and 19, or if you're in the UK, that's season 19 and 20 for weird reasons that I won't go into. We're a season ahead, even though we're not. It's just the way the seasons were cut up in the UK. It's a whole thing. But anyway, yes, two more seasons of American Dad. Anyway, that's been renewed for. Servant has been renewed for a fourth and final season at Apple TV Plus, so that will be coming back. Outer Banks has been renewed for a third season on Netflix, which I was very happy about. That's the teen drama that is way better than it has any right to be. That's been really, really good fun, the first two seasons of that. It's sort of the Goonies meets the CW show, basically. That's back for a third season. Leverage Redemption has been renewed for a second season on IMDb TV, so that's coming back.
Is that related to Leverage, the quite funny series?
Yes, it is. It's a continuation series, and it's on IMDb TV, which means it's free. So all you need to get IMDb TV is an Amazon account, a free Amazon account, and you can go and stream things. Just go onto IMDb TV on Amazon, and you can go and stream
things. And it's got a lot of the same cast as well?
Yes, a lot of the same cast. Noah Wyle is the lead in it now. He's sort of taken over the lead role, but the rest of the cast is, I think, mainly the same.
I've got too many things to watch already, Dan.
Yes, you can go and watch that. That's first season of that is up on IMDb TV, and that's been renewed for a second season. Yellow Jackets has been given an early season 2 renewal. That's a Showtime series, goes out on Sky Atlantic at the moment in the UK. Invasion has been renewed for a second season on Apple TV Plus, which Matt will be very happy about because he really enjoyed the first season of that. Truth Be Told also renewed, which is the Octavia Spence drama. That's been renewed for a third season. And CSI Vegas, which hasn't landed here yet, but I mean, it will do at some point, I'm sure. But that's been renewed for a second season by CBS, which, given that that was supposed to be a limited series to sort of celebrate 20 years of CSI, that has now been renewed for a full second season. So that will be coming back. William Peterson isn't coming back. Georgia Fox may return for that, but they obviously introduced a whole new CSI team as part of that show, because the idea was that they bring a few old faces back, but they were going to introduce a whole new team. And this is exactly what they sort of set it up for, was if it went down well, they could make a second season, and that is what they are doing. So I'm quite looking forward to that eventually landing over here, because I do quite want to see it. In terms of pickups and other news, Apple TV Plus, the app, is now on Sky Q. So if you want Apple TV, you can now go and get the app through Sky Q. It will still cost you extra. It's like $4.99 a month, I think, but you can actually get the Apple stuff directly through Sky Q if you've got that. Halo Paramount Plus released a trailer for the video game series, so there is a little trailer up for that. It doesn't give a huge amount away, in all honesty, and it has the same sort of thing as The Mandalorian in the fact that the guy never takes his helmet off. But yes, so that is the TV series, which has got a little trailer gone up on there. The Resident Season 5 has got a new home. That ran the fourth season on Sky Witness. The fifth season in future seasons will now be on Disney Plus. So that has got an air date as well for Season 5. That's the 26th of January. Basically, it's just a case of, I think, either Disney said it's our series, we're taking it back, or it was a case of Sky really didn't see the point in keeping hold of it because they didn't have the previous seasons. They only sort of ran Season 4 because they had the rights to it left over from them having Universal, and when they shut the Universal channel down, they kind of had this spare season kicking around. So I think that's possibly the only reason they ran it, but whatever the reason, it's now moved on to Disney Plus, and that's where it will go out for future seasons. So that's The Resident Season 5, 26th of January. Afterlife Season 3, that's the Ricky Gervais series, the heartbreakingly funny series. Friday the 14th of January, that's landing on Netflix. I'm very much looking forward to that. That will be the third and final season. There is a new show called Station 11, which is coming to Stars Play. That's on the 30th of January in 2022. Spanning multiple timelines, Station 11 tells the story of survivors of a devastating flu as they attempt to rebuild and reimagine a world anew whilst holding on to the best of what they have lost. It's a 10-episode series based on the international bestseller by Emily St. John Mandel. I don't know the book at all, but if you like your sort of post-apocalyptic type dramas, that could be one to look out for, and that's coming to Stars Play on, it's called Station 11, 30th of January. And Reacher has got a trailer and also a premiere date. That's based on the Jack Reacher novels. That's coming the 4th of February to Amazon Prime. And Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, season 4 of that, has also got an air date. That's the 18th of February. Vikings Valhalla has got an air date. That's coming to Netflix on the 25th of February. That's the follow-up series to the Viking series, which ran on the History Channel and Amazon over here, but the follow-up is on Netflix, set a couple of hundred years after the end of the original Viking series. That's Vikings Valhalla. That's 25th of February on 2022. Did you ever see any of the sort of Viking things? I kind of feel like Vikings might be your sort of bag.
I seen a little bit of it, but it didn't strike me as something I wanted to watch as much as all the sci-fi stuff. We've been spoiled with sci-fi recently, and yes, I'm behind on that. So yeah, the Vikings will have to wait.
Yes, yeah, it is a very, very good series, but yes, I know there's no spaceships in it, obviously. So
is there a spaceship in it?
No. But I'm very much looking forward to that. That's Vikings Valhalla, 25th of February on Netflix. And Sanditon Season 2 has got an air date. That's coming to BritBox UK on Monday the 21st of March. For those of you that don't have BritBox UK, which I know is going to be probably most of you, it is going to be coming out onto ITV at some point after that. It's just BritBox UK paid for it along with PBS Masterpiece in the US. So they're getting the premieres either side of the Atlantic, and they're coming out around about the same time, and then at some point after it's run out on BritBox, it will go out on ITV. So it will probably be, I don't know, end of next year before it probably lands on ITV. That's Sanditon Season 2. That will be coming back on BritBox on the 21st of March if you want to get it that there. In terms of some other news stories, there is another Batman adjacent TV series coming to the CW, or potentially coming to the CW. It's in development right now. It is from Berlanti, as a lot of these things are. It's called Gotham Knights, although it does share its name with the Batman Gotham Knights comic book and the upcoming Gotham Knights video game. The premise is a little bit different to both. It's set in the wake of Bruce Wayne's murder. His rebellious adopted son forges an unlikely alliance with the children of Batman's enemies when they are all framed for killing the Caped Crusader. And as the city's most wanted criminals, this renegade band of misfits must fight to clear their names. But in a Gotham with no Dark Knight to protect it, the city descends into its most dangerous it's ever been. However, hope comes from the most unexpected of places, as this team of mismatched fugitives will become the next generation of saviors known as the Gotham Knights. So that is the setup for it. Thoughts?
I mean, we've had Gotham, we've had Suicide Squad, we've had everything else the CW's ever made. I feel both like saying, oh my goodness, really? And this was kind of inevitable. It's an interesting one. Adopted son. It could be a number of people. I'm assuming it's going to be, I mean, Jason Todd was the most rebellious and the least used of all of the Robins in general. Could be Tim, but Jason Todd is one that doesn't get used a huge amount of things for obvious reasons.
But then if you actually watch the Titans series, they introduced Red Hood in the last season of Titans. So that's the interesting thing, is they don't specify. They just say rebellious adopted son. If they'd said rebellious son, actually, that would have made...
That would be clear then, yeah.
Yeah, that would be far more clear, because you just go, oh, well, that makes kind of sense, because it would be Damien. Yeah. And, I mean...
He is the most rebellious. He's raised by the League of Assassins.
Exactly.
And he has been used to good effect in a lot of the animated things as well, Damien. But yeah, if they're saying adopted son, it can't be.
Yeah, well, that was my thinking as well. I mean, I would love to see a live-action version of Damien, because they've used Dick, obviously, in Titans. They've used Jason in Titans. They've actually used Tim in Titans as well now. So, I mean, unless they're going to go with a completely invented character, which they may do, or unless they're going to drop the adopted and go with Damien, which would make the most sense to me, actually, because Damien is the one that would probably turn to the villains and enemy of my enemy is my friend sort of thing.
And but he wouldn't need to. He has the League of Assassins.
Well,
he could just go back to his mum and be like, hey, so we're getting framed and this has happened, unless they're going to frame him as being outcast from the rest of his family because he went and spent so much time with Bruce, but that goes against a lot of past canon. Not that the CW cares about canon whatsoever.
No, but
I really don't know. It sounds like an interesting premise, and much as I'm not hugely keen on anything that looks like it's more the kind of young adult type stuff, a lot of the stuff with the younger characters in the Bat universe has a lot of potential, and they are generally all very interesting characters. I'm not a huge fan of Titans. I just spent the entire thing getting tonal whiplash through various seasons like that, and I don't know. I think this one, I'm going to have to chalk this up as I have no idea what on earth this series would be like. It could go in so many different directions.
Yeah, that's the thing with me. I want to know which characters they're planning on using. That's what I really want to know, because I think that will set it up for me. Because if you're saying rebellious son and then you use Dick, that would be weird. It's the same if you use Tim. The only characters to me could be are either Jason or Damien, but Damien's not adopted, so that doesn't really make any sense given that description. I mean, I know it's in development at the moment, so that may change, but we'll have to wait and see.
Depends if they're going to work it into any of the existing things. Like, I think they need to make stuff like this standalone and not try and tie it in, because when you tie all these series together, you occasionally get some really cool crossover stuff and multiverse stuff and things, but you pull all of the errors or the inconsistencies and things from all these other shows into your new show, and it can become a detriment when you've got this many shows. I would like this to be a standalone, really. Yeah. I think it would allow it to work a lot better.
I mean, if you were going to tie it into anything, the only obvious thing to tie it into, I mean, it's from a group of the writers from Batwoman, but it would make more sense given who the leads are if you tied it into Titans, because that's had the Robins in it already, and that's who the adopted
sons
are.
That's the reason I think you shouldn't tie it into Titans.
Well, yeah, there is a certain amount of that, but then this is a CW show and Titans is a HBO Max show, which, I mean, I know they're tangentially linked, but they are on essentially two different networks. So I don't know.
It's an interesting one. I feel like the sort of CW related slide great HBO-related other things shows are trying their best to replicate all of the confusing, multi-threaded, multiversey things about comic books, which make them really, 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 really overcomplicated.
Yes.
And they're succeeding very well at that. I would like them to see them make a contained story that was not reliant on all of these other things.
Yeah.
Because I feel like some of them are just getting so messy now.
Yeah, it just seems weird that you'd have something that comes from Berlanti, is from the people that made Batwoman. Berlanti also made Titans, and you'd then go and create a show that has a completely different Robin in it. It just seems a bit weird, but we'll see what they come to.
They've picked a name from a comic book they're not even following, so at this point
that
I think they've chosen anarchy.
Yes, yes, they certainly have. It's called Gotham Knights. It's in development for the CW at the moment. Whether it moves forward there, whether it moves forward at all, whether it gets junked onto HBO Max, don't know. But we'll let you know if we hear any more on that anyway. But that is in development right now. Flipping over to the UK, Sky announced a bunch of things that are coming up in 2022. A few of these we knew about, few of these we didn't. There's an adaptation of The Midwich Cuckoos coming, which is the very famous John Wyndham sci-fi novel. Keely Hawes and Max Beasley starring in the leads of that. It's based in the town of Midwich, which is a quiet commuter town where nothing much happens until the twilight hours of late summer's day, when everyone is within a set area of the town falls unconscious. The curious incident seems to be temporary and those affected regains consciousness, but every woman of childbearing age inside the zone has suddenly and inexplicably fallen pregnant. As the children of the phenomenon grow, it becomes clear that they are not of this world. It's written by David Farr, who is the genius behind The Night Manager and Hannah. It's Alex Troughton is one of the lead directors of it, who did Discovery of Witches, Baghdad Central. But sort of interesting, Midwich Cuckoos. I don't know whether you've ever read the book.
Yeah, I know the story. And I worry for something like this, that we've had so many adaptations, things inspired by this. It's something that has gone into kind of popular knowledge, that yeah. How are they going to make anything where we can't just guess what's happening? They need to be very, very engaging, since everybody knows the twists and what happens in the end, because so many other things have already riffed off the contents of that book because it is so iconic.
Yeah. Good cast, though. I mean, Keely Hawes is great. Max Beasley's great. So there's a solid pair of leads running it. Like you say, it does have the issue that it's fairly well known as a story. Whether you know the book directly or not, so many things have covered it. But that is coming in spring 2022 to Sky Max. There is another show called Extinction. Well, currently called Extinction. That title may change because that is a working title and they were pitching a few different ideas around for titles for that. But coming to Sky Max spring 2022 as well. Based around the date 1st of July 2019, a date that George can never forget, no matter how hard he tries. Trapped in a loop that keeps him returning to the 1st of July, he discovers the existence of a secret organization known as the Lazarus Project, a crack team of agents who prevent global catastrophe by resetting time. George signs with the group as their latest recruit, but when tragedy strikes, George must decide if he can live with the consequences to save the world or take a different path. It's from Joe Barton, who wrote Girl to Jai. Stars Tom Burke as well from Strike, I think he was in. He's one of the people in here. Caroline Quentin's in there randomly. Yeah, some interesting names. Papa Esadu from I May Destroy You, he plays the lead as George. Got to be careful how I phrase this. I do have a little bit more knowledge of this. I am quite excited for this to land. I don't know how it reads to you, what you think.
I think it looks interesting. I've both watched and read a lot of things that have similar concepts. So based on this limited information, I don't know. The fact it's described as kind of an action thriller puts me off a bit, I think, because it makes it sound like the focus is going to be on that kind of time loop action, all guns blazing type approach rather than the sort of thing I tend to go for. But it has that kind of slightly all you need is kill. I've forgotten the name of the American movie that was based on that.
Right.
With the time loop and the aliens and the fighting.
Yes. Was that the Tom Cruise one?
It was based on a manga called All You Need Is Kill. And now I've forgotten the name of the American version.
No, so have I. Did nobody ever remember the names of it? And it was called Live.
That one.
It had a big sort of, the poster had something like Live, Die, Repeat on it, didn't it? And everybody remembered it as that rather than the actual title of it.
But it was Emily Blunt. It feels a little bit like that, And I don't know. There's not enough there for me to make an opinion.
I would say not that I've seen any of this, because
not that you've seen anything, and you're treading very close to your NDA, so much so you may get a paper cut from it in a minute.
Yeah, not that I've seen any of this, but I would think tonally more in the line of Humans than out and out full blown action. I suspect there might be some action sequences in there, but I think tonally it's probably going to end up being a little closer to something like Humans.
More thinking, less shooting.
Yes.
Which I am in favour of, because things like with this Groundhog Day style time loop mechanism, I'm much more interested in not just seeing a fight scene over and over, although it can work for some things. But yeah, I'm more interested if it's slightly less action-y, I think.
Yes, I do think that sounds like a very interesting one, and is going to be one worth keeping an eye out for. It's currently called Extinction, but like I say, that name might change. Spring 2022, that is landing on Sky Max. There is a couple of others as well. Obviously, House of the Dragon, that is coming. I'm particularly excited for another Game of Thrones. I'm sort of a bit deflated.
I haven't watched Game of Thrones.
Well, there you go. Yes, that is true. I've forgotten you don't watch that. And it's
I waited till the end because I knew if the end was bad, everyone would be super, super disappointed. I did the same thing with Lost, and I've been right both times.
Absolutely have. Yeah, so House of the Dragon, obviously, don't know when that's going to land, although if it takes the traditional Game of Thrones slot, it will be somewhere around April. There is a version of The Time Traveler's Wife coming as well, which, of course, was a movie and a book. It's from Stephen Moffat. It stars Rose Leslie from Game of Thrones and Theo James from the Divergent series. And Stephen Moffat, obviously, Doctor Who, Sherlock. And it is basically, you know, this love story between these two characters, Claire and Henry, who are separated by sort of time travel. You know, essentially, he pops in and out of her life, I think, is the sort of thing. It sounds like the thing that Stephen Moffat will do very well. It's on Sky Atlantic. It's a HBO series. So I'm quite interested in that. I think that could be quite interesting, and particularly with Stephen Moffat behind it, I can see the humour sort of working with that.
I think they've got the right team working on it, but I am not the target audience.
Right? Yeah. No,
because I just shy away from anything with romance in kind of like the primary plot. For the most part. I think it sounds like it could be quirky, fun, good waste of an hour each week, basically.
Yes, just not for your cold, dead heart.
No, I'm a goth. I can't help it, okay?
There is another one called The Rising, which sounds kind of interesting. Neve Kelly is dead. Understandably, she's scared and confused by this new non-existence. But moreover, when she realizes how she's been murdered, she's furious. Determined to find her killer and get justice, she takes advantage of her new supernatural abilities to go where the police can't and investigate her own death. In doing so, she uncovers deeply buried secrets and is forced to re-examine everything about her life and the people she cared about. It's an adaptation of a Belgian crime thriller. It's the first series to be produced entirely in-house by Sky Studio. Claire Rudgar, who was in I Am Mother, stars as Niv, alongside a couple of newcomers as well. So, sounds like an interesting premise for a series, if it's a bit quirky and slightly off the wall. I don't know. Sounds like he's going to have sort of some comedy elements to it as well as being a sort of interesting sci-fi, supernaturally sci-fi thing, I think.
Yeah. Are they going for comedy? Because you could read that two different ways. It could either be very, very dark, or it could be a light-hearted murder-solving thing.
I think it's probably, from the way it's written, I think it's going to be Buffy-esque humour. It sounds like she's possibly quite young, the character, so I do wonder whether they're going for that level of sort of fun drama humour, not necessarily teen, but that kind of humour, I think, is probably what they're going for. So it is a drama, but I think it's more of a dramedy that they're going for. That's the impression I get from it anyway. But I mean, it does say it's an adaptation of a Belgian crime thriller, so I don't know. But I get the feeling that it's going to be a very British sort of humour-based thing.
It could be an interesting one.
Yes, but that's called The Rising, and that's coming to Sky Atlantic in spring 2022. There are a bunch of other things. There is a post up with a few more bits and pieces in that Sky have got coming next year, but there is some good new original stuff coming to Sky next year. One of the things that's coming to Amazon Prime next year, early next year, they said. The Boys Diabolical, which is another expansion of the Boys franchise. This will be the second expansion because they have got one coming, which is set in the college for young soups. They've got like a teen thing coming up, which is one of the spin-offs, and that's live action. This one is called The Boys Diabolical. It's animated. It's an 8-episode animated anthology which reveals unseen stories of the Boys universe brought to life through some of the most creative minds in the entertainment industry today, including Awkwafina, Garth Ennis, Elliot Lila Glazer, Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen, who are of course producers on the show, Justin Rowland, Andy Samberg has done one, Alicia Tyler has done one. So there's a whole bunch of people involved. Eric Kripke, who is the creator of the show, said, "We've almost finished with the 8 episodes of our animated series Diabolical. We gathered together some of the most incredible creators and gave them one rule. Just kidding, there are no rules. They blew the doors off it, delivering 8 completely unexpected, shocking, gory, moist, emotional episodes. If you think The Boys is nuts, wait till you see this." That was followed up by Seth and Evan saying, "Ever since we saw the animated film The Animatrix, a series of short films set in the universe of The Matrix, we wanted to rip it off. Today, that dream has come true."
Yeah, I like the fact they're so upfront about that. Anthology animated series is, they are kind of doing the rounds, aren't they? We had the Love, Death and Robots and things like that over on Netflix doing well. And it's the right time to be doing that. Sounds like they know exactly who their audience is and what they are trying to sell with this. And we've also seen Invincible. That's something I have watched. That's animated.
Yes.
And was sold amazing. Kind of as like, "Hi, do you like The Boys? Well, we picked up this other license that's kind of even worse and it's animated, so we can blow everyone's heads up."
Yeah.
And then they've kind of looked and gone, "Yeah, actually, we can just do that with The Boys as well." So I can see entirely why this got the green light to get made. I'm interested to see it because I'm assuming this anthology, I mean, to be fair, the series has gone sort of away from the comic books to a certain degree anyway. So I'm assuming this is just completely new material now. And I'm cool with that. I think it will be good fun.
Yeah, I mean, there is, although, I mean, even if it isn't new material, there is so much that you can take out of the comic books. I'm actually in the process of reading through the comic books. It was sort of the thing I took away from me to read through. And I'm like up to book 8 right now. And there is so much stuff in the comic books, which is just drastically different to the TV show. There is a lot that you could take out of that and cover and do background on for one-off episodes and bits and pieces. So I really quite am looking forward to this. I think it's going to be fun and really funny and allows them to be gory and over the top. Like you say, since Invincible came out, I mean, Invincible was absolutely phenomenally well done. And I can see why maybe they commissioned this on top of Invincible. But I'm looking forward to the next season of The Boys, but this will be a nice little sort of stopgap until we get to there. They've said early 2022 was what the initial announcement was. So we'll have to wait and see when that lands. But that's called The Boys Diabolical. And it's an 8-episode animated anthology to watch out for. In terms of stuff that's coming up a little sooner than that, we've got some highlights for next week or next few weeks on TV coming up for you now. So highlights for the next few weeks on TV. We have The Wonder Years, which starts on the 22nd of December. That's coming to Disney Plus. That's the new version of the classic TV series that follows a black middle-class family in the 60s for this time around. But that's The Wonder Years, season one of that. Emily in Paris returns for a second season, which is a sort of very much a love it or hate it series from what I gather. 22nd of December for that on Netflix. American Housewife, if you watched that and was disappointed we didn't get the later seasons over here, they have now put all 5 seasons onto Disney Plus. That's 22nd of December they're landing. Around the World in 80 Days coming to BBC One on the 26th of December. That's at 5:50. That's a new adaptation of the classic Jules Verne novel starring David Tennant as Phileas Fogg in that as well. And
the stills from that look gorgeous, so I'm quite looking forward to that one.
Yeah, that looks like it's going to be really, really good. So 26th of December for that. Clarice, which was the sequel to the Silence of the Lambs series, that's coming to Alibi on the 27th of December at 9 p.m. Stars Rebecca Breeds in the lead role as Clarice. There's a lot of people saying, oh, that's been cancelled. Technically, it hasn't, although I would be very surprised if it comes back. There was a disagreement over the money because CBS wanted to move it onto Paramount Plus and MGM, who make it, didn't want them to move it onto Paramount Plus, and they've hit a bit of an impasse. So it's in kind of renewal limbo now, but I would be very surprised if it does return, but technically it isn't cancelled. That's the first season of that coming to Alibi on the 27th of December. That's Kirill Reis. The Book of Boba Fett, 29th of December, which is obviously the new spin-off featuring the famous bounty hunter from The Mandalorian, from the Star Wars universe. That's 29th of December for The Book of Boba Fett. Very much looking forward to that. I think that's going to be really, really interesting. Stay Close, which is another Harlan Coben novel adaptation starring Cush Jumbo, James Nesbitt and Richard Armitage. That's Stay Close, and that's a limited series coming to Netflix on the 31st of December. Cobra Kai Season 4 also lands on Netflix on the 31st of December. And then on the 1st of January, we have Saved by the Bell Season 2 coming to Peacock. We have Gossip Girl also on the 1st, the second half of Season 1 of that coming to BBC iPlayer. And the 7th of final season of NCIS New Orleans is coming to Sky Max on the 2nd of January at 10 p.m. That is taking the time slot which usually goes to NCIS LA. NCIS LA is still coming to Sky Max, but it's going to be later in the year, which I know has annoyed a lot of fans, but they've decided to bump it for this year for the 7th and final season of NCIS New Orleans. That will be preceded by Magnum PI, which season 4 of that is coming at 9 p.m. on Sky Max on the 2nd of January as well. That's all the stuff to look out for in the next couple of weeks. There is of course a bunch of things around over Christmas. We have got Christmas list up on the website, which is geektown.co.uk/Christmas. There are a bunch of shows which are sort of one-off things which are coming up around Christmas on there as well. You can, of course, still enter the Geektown Awards as well, which are still up and running on the website. There is a huge prize package you can win up on there. All you need to do is go on and let us know your favourite TV shows, games and films from the last 12 months and go and enter them on the website. You'll be entered into the awards and the prize draw for the prize package. Go to geektown.co.uk/awards to find out more information about that, but it is well worth entering over there. If people want to find more of you, where can they find you?
If people want to come and hang out and talk a lot of 80s and 90s nostalgia, as well as rant about a lot of comic books, sci-fi and other TV and movie based stuff, I do that full time over at Twitch at the moment. I can be found on everything as Trista Bytes, spelt B-Y-T-E-S, because I thought I was funny. So I'm on Twitch, I'm on YouTube, where I interview indie game and indie comic book creators if you're looking for anything new to read or play. And you can also find me on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, all as Trista Bytes as well.
Yes, so go and check out Bex on all those different platforms, particularly Twitch, where she spends most of her life and is chained to a desk playing Tomb Raider. So go and check her out over
there. It's literal. Please come and save me. Help me. Keep me company.
Yes. So go check Bets out over there on twitch.tv/TristaBytes. For other stuff, you can go find Matt over on Entertainment Talk. We've got a few shows coming out over the Christmas period that we've been doing, and all the Walking Dead stuff is over there that we've been doing. We did a roundup podcast for Well Beyond recently, so that's gone up there. We're doing some end of year stuff as well with Matt, so that's over on entertainmenttalk.org, so go and check that out. And for Daryl, go to hollywoodnorthnews.net for all those TV series you love shot in Canada. You can find all the news about those over on there. For us, you can go to geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. We will be back in the new year, so everybody have a lovely, wonderful festive time over the next couple of weeks, and we will see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.